Please be seated, if you can. Now, I hope you know that there is great pressure regarding the Easter sermon. I know I spend way too much time preparing for it, often neglecting other things. And by the time I'm done or give up, I've probably written 4 or 5 different sermons. This year was no different. You'll be happy to know, though, that I'm not going to preach all 4 or 5 sermons this morning. And I know that I put that pressure on myself. But on big days like this, I feel like you got to make it count. But this year, over the past couple of weeks, no matter what I did or how many sermons I wrote, a story and a person kept occupying my thoughts. I think I know why, but it is a story of a friend that I shared with you on my very first Easter Sunday here some 7 Easters ago. And I guess I've done this priest thing long enough to realize that when something keeps tugging at you and won't let go, it's best to pay attention. So I tell you this story about my friend named Diane. We had worked together at a hospital in Birmingham where I was an administrator and she was director of occupational therapy. Now, Diane was the type person you just love to be around. She was always the life of the party. If there was a group from work meeting afterwards for happy hour, Diane was always there. If there was a birthday, you can bet she remembered, and by all means, there was a party, usually involving happy hour. See a theme coming. But if there was ever a time of year that she loved more than any other, it was Christmas. She was truly a Christmas fanatic, even to the point that her nickname was Jingle, as in Jingle Bells. And I guess it made it all the more cruel that she was diagnosed in December. She'd been feeling tired, but the only outward sign that anything was wrong was a persistent little cough that she couldn't seem to get rid of. She was a breast cancer survivor, so of course the first thing she thought about was cancer. But the doctors assured her that they didn't believe that to be the case. Working in a hospital, she got lots of attention and lots of well-intentioned efforts to find out what was wrong. But the truth is, it was cancer. And by the time it could be seen on the scans, there were tiny tumors throughout her body, and she was only given months to live. The day we all found out, we decided to go over to her house after work. It was very solemn and frankly, very uneasy because nobody really knew what to say. But that wasn't Diane's style. Pretty soon, she was once again the life of the party, making jokes about chemo and radiation and losing her hair. And we all knew she was just doing that to make us feel at ease. But there was one thing that night that she admitted caused her great grief. She didn't have her Christmas decorations up yet. Forget cancer, chemotherapy, and everything that she was dealing with. It was Christmas by God, and priorities were priorities. The decorations were all in the attic, and she even hadn't even thought about having a Christmas party, and she always had a Christmas party. Chemo was only days away, and she had to make sure she at least had her tree before she went to the first session. And it had to be a live tree, she informed us. And by all means, it had to be a Fraser fir, because they're the best. The prettiest, most alive tree you could get, she said, and it, her book just wasn't Christmas without a Fraser fir. Well, when she said that, it was like a light bulb went off in my head, and I kind of snuck out of the room. There were lots of people there, so nobody noticed, and I walked out the door. And I returned a few minutes later with the biggest and best Fraser fir the lot down the street had to offer. Diane loved it. And before you knew it, we were up in the attic, passing down boxes. Christmas carols were on the stereo. Wine was uncorked. Stories were being told. The tree was up, and we all started decorating. It was truly one of the most precious nights of my life. And in the midst of all that, Diane stopped. She raised her glass to offer a toast. I've decided, she said, that that night, this night, was her Christmas party for that year. So here, she said, is to the first annual Diane Jingle Jones Last Christmas Party. We raised our glass and said many more, even though we didn't believe it. Now, I don't mean to be morbid or insensitive, but the idea of a first annual last Christmas party made sense coming from her. Well, by now you may have guessed that a few months wasn't enough for Diane. And before you knew it, it was Christmas again. And this time we even sent out invitations for the second annual Diane Jingle Jones last Christmas party. And even though I moved away and couldn't always attend, I remained on the mailing list. And there was a third annual and a fourth annual, all promising to be the biggest and the best ever. And all in all, there were six annual last Christmas parties before Diane's poor body just gave out. So, what in the world does this Christmas story have to do with you and with Easter Sunday? Well, for those of you who don't know me, I always have a point. Sometimes it just takes me a while to get there. And my point is what happened the next year, the year after Diane died. It was December, and I was at work, and I got a call from a friend. She was inviting me to the seventh annual Diane Jingle Jones Last Christmas Party. And I couldn't help but smile. Of course we should have another one. Diane would have loved that. And as I was hanging up, my friend assured me that, of course, it was going to be the biggest and best one ever. And I have no doubt that it was. I've often said that I thought Diane taught me how to die. But I've come to realize how much she taught me about how to live. You see, she was a person of faith, loving God and loving neighbors. She was a person of the resurrection, and how appropriate it was to have a seventh annual party to celebrate her new life. Christmas may have been her favorite time, but she was an Easter child of God. And isn't that how it should be? Because folks, without Easter, nothing else matters. Without Easter, Christmas has no meaning. Without Easter, the story of the babe born in a manger is simply the story of a Jewish boy born in a barn. Without Easter, the life and miracles of Jesus are nothing more than some Galilean evangelical sideshow. Without Easter, the bread and wine of communion are just bread and wine. And without the seventh annual Diane Jingle Jones Last Christmas Party, the other six were just fond memories of a dear friend and not a celebration of her resurrection. Without Easter, nothing else matters. Because it is Easter where Jesus defeated sin and death and accomplished what he was sent to do. And that victory becomes our inheritance as children of the living God. I think of Diane often, especially this year, and without fail, every year, when I go looking for a Christmas tree, a Fraser fir, of course, because it's just not Christmas without a Fraser fir. They're the best. But through the years, I've come to think of her just as often on Easter, and that's how it should be. For it is this day that gives us the audacity to proclaim that there is no darkness, no darkness that the light of Christ cannot transform. There is no brokenness that cannot be mended. There is no sin that cannot be redeemed. There is no mistake that cannot be forgiven. And there is no one, no one that is beyond that love which is without condition. It is a truth that without which our faith is nothing more than a belief in a good man who died too young. My friends, God has spoken his word to us and given us his promise. God has spoken through the silence of death and told us he has conquered it. And that's all that really matters. So, you know the drill. You know the response. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Oh, you can do better than that. Alleluia, Christ is risen. And may you all have a very merry Easter. God love you. Amen.